Hello and welcome to the November 12th edition of LAN Party.
LAN Party.
The One Up Network's PC gaming podcast.
Which apparently you hate.
Yeah, I hate it.
No, not you.
The people who are talking to you. Everybody hates the LAN Party.
You were looking right at me when you said it.
Yeah, I looked at Matt too.
I was speaking directly through the speakers and through the headphones to the people at home or on the bus who think that LAN Party is a horrible
thing. You're going to try to punch them into the air.
No, I'm not a violent man.
None of them came up with anything better. And we gave them the chance.
The lack of creativity reflects not only on us, but on the entire LAN Party community. We should all chastise ourselves.
Yay, this was, I came up with this name,
I think, the day of our final GFW radio.
Really?
Yeah. And it hasn't evolved since.
And it's like nobody's ever suggested anything better. But
All right, so I noticed last week that are we supposed to like introduce ourselves at the beginning of these podcasts?
No. That's probably a good idea. Yes,
make it a quick one.
Well, you didn't apologize yet. Yeah.
Robert Ashley. I'm Robert Ashley.
Tina.
Matt Chandernay.
Anthony.
And I'm your host, Ryan Scott, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So, I'm a little bit sorry today too because we're in our new podcast room.
Yeah, it's a little
Jeff Green's former office, and it's we haven't soundproofed it yet.
Actually, and I'm pretty sad, like just sitting in Jeff's office. But Robert makes it funny because he's using candy corn that we got from a user as teeth.
not all my teeth, just the incisors. Unlike the
vampire.
Like, the vampire of candy corn.
The spirit of Jeff Green is with us in this office.
Oh, so...
No, it's not. It's just his stank. It smells like Jeff Green
spirit
in here.
Spirit is the polite word for stank.
Like that. Yeah. You should talk about the package you got.
Yes, this aforementioned candy corn, caramel candy corn. Brock's Milk Made caramel candy corn came in a package with several other bags of Brock's Milk Made caramel candy corn and like five bags of Cheetos.
Wow.
A comic book titled Dr. Debunko, Debunker of the Supernatural. Signed by the writer. And a board game called Playing God.
Which is also signed.
The board game of Divine Domination, also signed by the creator. And this was sent to us by a reader, by a listener. I need to stop calling them readers, whose name escapes me. I just went looking for the letter he sent along with it in my office, which...
It was the most professional letter of all time.
Really?
At the end of it, it said, please note the enclosed. It was like five X.
But it was like...
There's an invoice?
It was like, you know, this is this copy of the board game signed by the creator. You can find more information about this board game at www. You know, like the website. And it's like, you can contact the creator if you wish to speak to him at...
Was it an actual listener, or was it like this board game's PR company?
No, it was a listener who sent us all this stuff. And
wow.
And yeah, like I said, I'm sorry I don't remember your name right now. Because
we'll give you props next week.
The minute any piece of paper lands on my desk, it basically gets assimilated into a pile of other things. So I will.
Your life sounds like a Dilbert comic.
Yeah.
You know, as far as
I'm eating a lot of these candy corn.
Yeah, I was gonna say, as far as they go, they're pretty good. Normally,
you guys like these better than the Bloom coins we got last week?
Yes.
After getting that link that somebody sent me about the
that was me. Like the because there was a okay. Let's see who sent that. From Mookie FL sent me a private message that.
Sorry, Tina just sipped her latte.
She totally did, right in everybody's ear.
I'm so sorry.
No, dude, that's totally what this podcast is about,
making terrible snack sounds
in the microphone.
That was amazing.
But anyway, so like Mookie FL sent me a private message and it said that my instincts about the doubloon chocolates were probably correct because there's a melamine scare involved with these. Apparently from, and the link that he sent me talked about a warning from the Canadian equivalent of the FDA about melamine being on the packaging of these things.
Wait, okay, I'm kind of silly. What's melamine?
Well, I have no idea what melamine is. So he quoted it, it sounds horrible.
It sounds cancerous.
Exactly. Well, he quoted the Wikipedia entry, and this is awesome. It says, a study in 1953 reported that dogs fed 3% melamine for a year had the following changes in their urine. One, reduced specific gravity.
What the fuck does that mean?
What?
His urine is anti-gravity urine.
That actually sounds like a pretty awesome power.
Like,
yeah, I know.
Piss onto someone's balcony from the speaker.
And number two, increased output. So not only is it anti-gravity, but it's increased in volume.
Yeah.
The third one is melamine crystallaria. I have no idea what that means.
That sounds like kidney stone territory or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, doesn't it?
You know what this seems like to me?
What?
We got to make Papa Smurf consume melamine or
melamine.
Until we figure out.
Now you guys want to kill me.
No. We just want to see your urine go anti-gravity.
Yeah. So like you're floating in it. Crap.
That's a little weirder than wanting to kill me.
And then, well,
if you died, then you'd be of no use to science.
Well, the fourth one from the Wikipedia entry apparently is actually my favorite. It also has a change in that it's a protein and occult blood.
What, occult?
Occult blood.
Okay.
So I assume that this is a medical term of which I am not familiar.
It's witch's blood.
Exactly. That's what I think of. Yeah. I think of like witch's blood. I think of like, you know, some sort of like horribly coagulated evil black blood.
This is just a disease that like Canada took from the Call of Cthulhu world. That's not real.
So gullible. I can't believe you guys.
So after eating all this stuff, I just want to know, when is somebody going to send us some health care?
I was actually going to say, like, I think it would be really cool if somebody tried to send healthy snacks. Because, like, whenever I've thought I've found a healthy snack, I've learned out, like, a week later that it actually has something in it that's very, very bad.
Oh, fuck. That reminds me of our Fig Newton run at BlizzCon. And I was like, dude, Fig Newton is so good. And we looked at the box, and it was, like, serving size 2.
Yeah.
And it's, like, 80% of, like, the saturated fat in one day or something ridiculous like that. It's like, damn.
Well, they're not cookies. They're fruited cake. And fruited cake has a lot of shit in it that you don't want to eat.
I don't know.
Apparently.
How about people try and send us some things like some raw almonds or something?
I like how we just order people to send us specific things. I meant to actually, the weirdest thing, I was at the Berkeley Bowl, which is my local grocery store where I live, and as I was leaving the other day, propped up on top of a giant bin of rice was an unopened, brand new bottle of Cactus Cooler.
Wow.
Fuck
and
yeah.
I was like, so they sell this here now? And I went back and looked and couldn't find any. There was just this one sitting.
Did you buy it?
No, it wasn't for sale. It was like next to the door. It was like either it was somebody's abandoned Cactus Cooler or it belonged
but
to
that,
somebody
what that
who
means
was working
is that
there.
Somewhere around here.
You should have taken it.
Yeah, that does mean that
I will,
it's
if
likely
I, if
for
I
sale.
See any,
you
I will
need to
definitely
investigate
bring.
Further.
Yeah, okay.
Tell me what religion
Ryan is very interested.
Tell you what?
What religion that belongs to.
Anthony's got a bunch of.
As offensive as you can.
These are the game pieces.
I think I will. I think I will avoid that.
I want to see. I want to guess.
Holy shit! This is Buddha with a minigun.
Yeah, the one we're looking at right now appears to be like an extra from Prince of Persia, like an angry man.
And he's holding a bomb.
With a bomb and a. I'm gonna go with that. Is definitely some sort of symbol of the Mormon faith.
Whatever. Yeah. So what's this game called?
It's apparently like. Offend the world religions.
Playing gods.
Oh, playing gods, that's what it's called.
Yeah, one of the pieces is Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Wielding a cross over his head like he's going for the kill. And he also, the most amazing detail about it is that he has several like assassins throwing knives strapped to his leg.
So the Shiva one is strangely appropriate.
Yeah, but
that's because Shiva typically is like shown like holding heads and all that stuff.
Yeah, and swords.
Isn't
and
she like the goddess of
That's like not even a fancy
one.
No. That's a...
Yeah.
True form.
We'll have to learn how to play this game and then report back.
Yeah, exactly.
Mildly moving into gaming topics.
Yes.
And also kind of a sad thing. A friend of mine had a...
I should say, like, we actually have a short podcast today, so...
Yes, and so we'll make this quick, but a friend of mine had a family member pass away this week.
Aww.
and was in the funeral home, in the showroom, as they call it, looking at all the caskets and headstones and stuff, and came upon the most amazing headstone that I've ever heard in my entire life. It was a bronze headstone. He drew me a picture, which everyone's been asking me, what the hell is this? It looks like this very amateur picture. But it was so that I could explain what this headstone looked like.
All right.
That basically it was shaped in the shape of an LCD computer monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very top of it were the internet browser options, like, you know, like file edit, you know, options back, forth, home and all that. And then right sort of on top of that was engraved really deeply in loving memory of blah, 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 blah. And below that was a picture of the guy standing right next to Master Chief with a big rifle.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and a Halo 2 logo behind Master Chief.
Whoa!
And anyway, it just sounded like the most ridiculous thing ever. And so I hope
or most ridiculously awesome thing ever.
If anyone ever runs into anything like this, if you find yourself in
a wacky area
funeral, if you find yourself in a funeral home and you see like video game themed headstones, please send pictures, because I'm dying to see this.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so what's been going on? Games.
Well, you guys have been playing some Call of Duty, Tina and Anthony.
Yeah. World at War.
Oh, by the way, like, our listeners are pissed. They're like, Tina never talks about anything but Call of Duty. But this is a new one. World at War. So,
how convenient.
Well, you know, I never talk about anything but World of Warcraft, so it's cool.
And Wrath of the Lich King is out
today.
At midnight tonight. What's tonight, though? Tonight's like 3 days ago.
Oh, unless, of course.
Tonight is not, in fact, 3 days ago. Tonight is actually tonight.
Well, no, but when they listen to this.
No, I think this is going up either 12th or 13th.
Okay, anyway. Okay. So
anyway, like the midnight launch event that's happening tonight while we're sitting in this office, regardless of when the podcast comes out, you could actually have the game early and installed if you are a fan of 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven, the Street Breakers extraordinaire.
I was going to say, I don't think every 7-Eleven is selling it. I think, isn't it only like San Francisco and New York or something like that? Like, not every 7-Eleven.
Really?
I can believe games. It's only, yeah.
No, I was in San Jose with Alice the other day and they had games for sale. That's when we were trying to pick up Gears 2 before Street Date with everybody.
Can you actually play WoW if you get the game early?
You could, because they're turning on the servers tonight at 9 p.m.
So you could like run in there like
for like 3 hours.
Like you're the first kid in Six Flags or whatever.
Right.
You're waiting in line all morning and you're gonna run straight to the biggest roller coaster in town. Yeah. That's cool.
Yep, exactly.
That's what Ryan's gonna do tonight with his bowl of Cheerios and stuff. No milk.
No, I thought it was a Smart Start Salisbury steak microwavable meal. I thought we had already agreed on that.
And a cactus cooler.
That sounds perfect.
That sounds pretty good.
Wrath of the Lich King launch food.
Using his Tiny Titans DVD as a mouse pad.
No.
Are you, so you guys, you played the, because I've seen a lot of the Xbox Left 4 Dead, but you guys played the PC demo or whatever, right? Have you played, have you played both? How do they compare?
We also played the PC version multiplayer a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
Yes. I mean, I've been playing both. I got the Xbox version of the full game. For a review that I'm doing for Not Ziff Davis stuff, and I've been sort of bouncing back between the two because I don't have anyone to play with on the console version, and of course it's, you know, there are the benefits of playing a first person shooter on a PC.
That's what Anthony and I were talking about earlier. You mentioned, Anthony, that Sean was playing the other day, right?
No, well, we were all like Sean and everyone was playing last night and. On like every skill but expert, they could just melee their whole way through it if they weren't playing against any, like, you know, against just the AI.
Really?
Yeah, because it just goes, I mean, it just supports the fact that a mouse and keyboard are, you know, better for shooters than the controller.
That's definitely true, but there's still something to be said when they don't even have to shoot and they can just melee their way through it.
Yeah, that seems like a flaw.
I don't know about that. Did you experience that when we played PC?
Well,
just melee through everything.
No, I'm not that great for one thing. I'm decent.
Other thing is, weren't you guys playing against people that were playing the zombie opponents?
Yeah, but there was only four of them, and then like there's also the like.
Yeah,
the NPCs.
That was the demo that we did. But as far as playing the demo that's been out for a while, I don't think that I could do that. I have run into people though that are really good at it, and I got to say it's more fun to play it on expert because the zombie outbreaks that happen are just insane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my favorite moments in the game are when it's quiet and all of a sudden you start hearing the grumbling of a ton of zombies, and
then they have the music that
the horn music, and it sounds sort of like Planet of the Apes or something. kind of jagged, and it comes up really fast, and then all of a sudden, just a huge line of guys running at you. And
it's so really wait, you cool. You have the PC version?
No, I have the demo on the PC, and I have the Xbox regular version. And I'm going to play the PC version. Everyone's
my roommate Ryan O'Donnell. I was watching him play the Xbox version, and they were just playing on advanced and could not make it through. They were getting their ass kicked every single time, and yet people say that on PC the way to play is expert. So maybe it's just that much easier to shoot what you need to shoot.
It is definitely easier, although it's pretty easy and fun to play on the Xbox. If you ask me,
really,
yeah, I've
it looked really really hard. They were having a lot of problems.
The controls are. I mean, they're similar to Half-Life.
I think the aim assist is a lot better than Half-Life.
You think so?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had too much trouble with it, but maybe I'm just a god.
Yeah.
You confirmed.
You would be playing in what Rory and Sean call the pro zone layer.
Prozone.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean's been playing, you said?
Yeah, Sean's back up and running, but, you know, he plays on East Coast time, so he's
Sean Elliott,
out.
Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast... Just send us some aims.
I don't think Sean likes the podcast. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Miss you.
I haven't talked to him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't talk to that dude.
I have.
Busy. Sean doesn't like anything. He talks to me. That's because you're a girl.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Whatever that means.
Whatever.
No, I mean I catch emails from Sean. I think he's a busy guy.
Yeah, I do too.
But I don't know. I wish that I could be a little bit more specific about the game since I've played all the levels now. But I made the mistake of asking if there was anything I wasn't allowed to talk about. And they were like, yeah, pretty much everything that's not in the demo. And I'm like, oh, great.
Nice.
But in general, from playing as much of the game that I've played, I sort of feel like I get the idea of it a lot more now. And it occurs to me that that it's kind of... several different games that sort of pop up at any given moment. So while you're playing through any of the levels, you know, there are a few scenarios that can happen, and you realize over time that those scenarios pop up over and over and then sort of remix and change. You know, you've got the tank game, the hunter game, the mob of zombie game,
right.
the part of the game where you're just picking off random zombies that are kind of strewn around the room. There are these several things that pop up over and over again, and it's funny how they can change after you get used to them for a while. Though, I mean, I remember the first time I opened up a safe room door and had a tank come out at me.
Oh,
out
shit.
Of nowhere, and I was like, oh, I didn't know you could do that.
But, he came out of the safe room?
Yeah, like there will be Whoa. Stuff in the safe room sometimes.
Whoa, I didn't know that could happen.
Yeah, and the tank can apparently be anywhere in the game. Like, you can't escape. I mean, I've climbed into ducts and been like, oh, it can come in the ducts.
Okay. Well, for the listeners that don't know, the tank is one of the four...
special zombies.
And he's like the strongest, biggest. He's kind of like a zombie version of the Hulk.
Yeah, and he throws cars at you and like chunks of the pavement and kills you really quick. Not quite as quick as the witch, who is also sort of a bullet sponge.
The witch hunter.
I think she's just the witch.
Yeah, and she's
but if
crazy
you kill too. The witch, you are the witch hunter.
So,
yeah,
you can't, it's kind of a bummer that like if you play the infected side, you can't actually play as the witch.
Yeah, except there's I can see the idea because of it because there's really it's not like she has any specific power.
Yeah, she's just really strong.
Yeah, she comes at you sort of like any other zombie. She looks very specifically like her own character, but she just runs at you and does this thing that all the zombies do. Yeah. That's the funniest thing to me about Left 4 Dead is it kind of has this cheesy element of when you're surrounded by zombies and you're being attacked, they look like they're about, you know,
they're pawing
2 feet
you.
2 feet away from you and they're just pawing at you through the screen.
Except for the hunters, like when you get it, like if you see a third person view from when the hunters attack somebody, they pin him to the ground and they start like ripping all their guts out.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty visceral.
Yeah.
You know, I was when I was playing last night, I was thinking like, dude, all these zombies, there's so many of them, right? And they're just chilling there until they see you.
Yeah.
Like, who's really like the you know, the bad person here? Like the humans, just like four of them, like, freaking tearing shit up.
Well,
like,
until they pour out of the gutters and start running out after you. Yeah. You know, like the ones that are just hanging out on the street seem like they're kind of dazed.
Yeah, they're just chilling.
They're brain drunk basically. And they're waiting around for any other brains to to feast on.
No. But- It's a lot of fun. I definitely think that if you guys have the opportunity to play or, you know, decide between the Xbox or PC version, definitely go with the PC version.
Yeah, well, it's the PC podcast, I would imagine.
Speaking
that's
of
the general, but I was going to say one last thing about Left 4 Dead that is something that I've learned from playing the whole game that is not too specific to talk about, is that I think there's this kind of cool thing that I didn't realize about the way that the characters work and the way that the game is set up, where, you know, there's no like story per se. They give you this generic zombie premise where mm-hmm. you've got the four unlikely characters who are together who you don't really ever learn anything about.
Right.
But as you play more levels, it's funny to see them approach like new environments and it be the same thing. It's almost like Groundhog Day for zombie movies. You know, it's the same characters and all of a sudden, oh, here we are in Zombie Town again. Like, oh, I heard that they got away up here and they go, oh, they get to the wherever they're going and find out, oh, wait, I guess the town is totally trashed by zombies. What a surprise. It's like the same thing over and over again. It becomes kind of comical.
Well, isn't each level also supposed to be like a different movie?
Yeah, self-contained movie. Yeah.
Yeah, and it is something that I think if it had been more story centric, you wouldn't want to deal with it over and over again.
Yeah,
but it just becomes this situation that happens to them over and over again. And I could see playing, you know, 15 of those scenarios and they still sort of reacting the same way.
I think it would be fun if they released like new casts of characters. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd have to record a bunch of new dialogue and everything, but it'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me how much character does come through, though, without there being any real story or any... Just the things that they say to each other, you know? You got, like, Francis...
The biker.
Just by his name, Francis the Biker. You know, he's like a tough guy, but he's kind of sweet. Like, whenever
sweet.
No, whenever he patches you up, you know, he's like, oh, come here, I'll heal you. You know, he's like surprisingly nice.
Right.
And then the vet, what's his name?
I forget.
Oh,
old guy.
Is Frank?
Bill.
Bill.
Bill is Bill. Hilarious. You know, he's always making comments about, like, when he picks up a machine gun, he's like, oh, this is just like back in Nam, you know? Making those little comments like that, and then the female character Zoe is always like, she's like surprisingly tough, like she's not scared ever. She seems to always make like comments of
like whenever she picks up somebody, she's all like, oh, what did she say? Oh yeah, come on, I'm half your size.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be here for Halloween next year.
Who doesn't?
Damn, now I have to think of a new Halloween costume for next year.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
No, but it's good.
But speaking of it being a PC podcast, I finally ordered my parts today.
Yeah?
Yep.
Congrats.
Thank you to Anthony.
Whoa.
One person clap.
That was a vigorous
clap.
Yay,
clapping.
I'm glad we can hear the ambience of this room so well.
Yeah, I know. Snapping the scissors.
All right.
Yeah, I got a motherboard from Anthony, mm-hmm. and thanks to the parts I'm going to tear zombie-like from my existing PC, mm-hmm. and then put it all together. I think after I turn in all the rebates and everything, it's going to cost me about $660.
Damn.
Nice. You should have gone for $666.
Yeah, that would have been more demonetical.
Yeah. I hear if you spend $666 on your rig that it's actually faster.
Stupid.
It gives you extra overclocking options in your BIOS.
But then later on it kills your firstborn with an electric shock.
Well, you know, you got to pay for what you get.
It's true. But I thought it was kind of interesting because I've been talking about this for a few weeks. So somebody else sent me a private message, Death by Fractals. And he said he made a kind of a good point. He said, can you be a PC gamer without being without becoming an enthusiast? An enthusiast being one who's into the hardware aspect of it, keeping track of the latest and greatest, et cetera. And it's like...
I say no.
Yeah.
Straight up no. You can't. Impossible.
Yeah, you definitely can, because Sean never knew shit about what was going on.
Oh, snap. You're calling Sean out.
No, Sean didn't know a lot of times, but Sean never needed to, because he had really nice rigs built for him and stuff, but that still made Sean, like, Sean just went home and knew how to start a computer game and everything. It was just fine.
Yep. Yeah. And, like, I wish that there was an easy way to do that while still being cheap. You know, because, like, the reason to do it myself is because it's still the cheapest option. Like, you know, I could go buy an Alienware or some shit like that. And I also don't want, like, lots of extra shit installed on my machine when I get it and all kinds of stuff. So I think there's a lot of significant hurdles to it just being a console-like experience where you just go and buy a PC and now it's my gaming rig.
Right.
Yeah.
You pay premium
Yeah.
If you want that experience.
Yeah. I would buy a Steam PC. It's like, Steam, tell me what to buy.
Yeah, there you go.
Send it to me. Like, that would be amazing.
You know, when you buy like an Alienware PC, you can have it preloaded and pre-installed with all the games you want.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Steam, do you guys know anything about Steam Cloud?
No.
You're like, bro.
I saw
a press release or something, but I don't know what it was. Just wasn't it something that stores your settings so that you can play your games in multiple places?
That's right.
And it'll still keep all your keyboard mappings and stuff like that.
That's a pretty cool idea.
It's a cool idea. It's one of those things where they have so many options on Steam that I'm like, wow, that's cool, but who's using that? Like game developers who play video games at work and at home? I mean, like who else is playing all of, you know, multiple PCs?
Well, the way that I think of it is like, you know, it's really useful if you're talking about LAN events. Like, let's say you go to the PC room in PAX, mm-hmm. and you just log into your Steam name, then like all of your settings are there. Mm-hmm. And all of the games are there installed by the PAX guys, so you can just jump right in and play.
That makes sense.
But, yeah, I think the market for that is probably pretty small. But I just think it's cool that they go ahead and do stuff like that, because that's the kind of thing that I don't think Games for Windows would ever even think to do.
Yeah.
I have no opinion about that. We still have a Games for Windows door on our site.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at his eyes all
over. No, we don't. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were doing that Games for Windows shit anymore.
They totally are.
Really?
Yeah.
What does it even mean? It's just like a label on a box.
They made it free at this point, the Games for Windows live service.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, but I don't think you got to be like a super nerd about computers to be into computer
games. No, you need to know
games.
A couple of super nerds who can help you out.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah. And if you insist on being like top of the line hi-fi PC nerd, then yeah, you're probably going to have to learn a bunch of stuff.
Either that, or you're going to have to be okay with spending lots and lots of money.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, yeah, if I had an extra, you know, $3,000 burning a hole in my pocket, then I'd just go and buy an Alienware PC.
Yeah.
Like, top-of-the-line shit or whatever. But there's no way I can afford that.
I would think I'd have to have a lot more money than that to just waste $3,000. What are we looking at? We're really distracted because there's, like, a window into the office.
Yeah, in the other studio, there's no window.
Yeah.
It's because at some point I have to leave.
Boo.
Check out a game demo.
That is so lame.
I just want to know, is it right now? All right, whatever. We're moving on.
He's giving you the thumbs up. What does that mean? Does that mean go or stay?
I think it means go.
This is ruining our podcast.
No, don't go. Stay.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Good.
We're good.
Okay.
Sorry.
Excellent. That was Scooter giving us hand signals.
We really need to soundproof over these windows. Yeah, so nobody can like give us thumbs up and thumbs down. So... Papers. What else? Ryan, you had like a little schedule in front of you.
Oh, no, I just have this.
We can start to
article.
Talk about that Grim Fandango thing. I did read the actual design document.
Oh yes. I totally forgot about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to talk about it, except to point out that it's there. But I caught a link the other day from Rock Paper Shotgun to the Double Fine website. Tim Schafer, creator of Grim Fandango and Psychonauts and
Brutal Legend,
Had posted the design document for Grim Fandango on his website. And
kind of a funny guy sometimes.
Along with a note that was sort of making fun of how ridiculously difficult the puzzles in that game are, which I could relate to because I just recently, like 4 months ago, tried to play through the game and quit at the point at which it became just me going back and forth from game FAQs.
Right.
To the game. Like, right. It was no just alt tab. Yeah. I was enjoying it from, you know, from a story perspective a lot. I really wanted to finish it. But it was cool to look at the document because unlike what I would imagine goes into a design document for a game these days, it was really, really specific, and it led directly to the game. Everything, it was sort of like a script. I mean, there were sketches of the opening scenes. They talk about specifically like every puzzle and how it works,
and the way
all the
that
dialogue.
Characters are looking at each other.
Wow.
Yeah, because when I was talking to a friend who was trying to get in design, he was saying the design documents were more like 6 pages. With like a 1-page general overview of what the game is about.
Yeah, it's like dude has
like what puzzles might be like, and then like a couple of sketches of art or something like that, and this was like literally page by page, like a walkthrough of the whole game.
Yeah, these days it's like dude has flat top, manipulates gravity, game sold.
Like I've seen I mean, my question is, because Tim Schafer's, he's a fucking hilarious guy. So it's like, I imagine any game document that he writes to be, you know, like reading a hilarious script, but it's probably not like
that. No. Actually, he does insert jokes all the time. Like when he's showing like the map of puzzles, he's like, see, it starts off linear and then it breaks up and he's like, now it's nonlinear. And then it breaks up again and he's like, it's still nonlinear. I know what you know. I know that you know what nonlinear means, right? He does insert jokes in there all the time.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Like, or talking about the way a certain character looks, like, yeah, he's fat.
Right. Like,
he does totally like make it very
entertaining. Who voiced the character of Manny in Grim Fandango? Does anybody know? That guy was so great.
I'm ashamed I've never played it.
It was some dude who's on Ugly Betty now.
Really?
Yeah.
One of the best characters in the game.
I know that because Jeff Green watched Ugly Betty.
For real?
Yeah. Damn. And he recognized the guy's voice. I think he pointed it out on a previous podcast.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
So Tim Schafer should do like his own version of Super Smash Brothers. Just bring back all of his famous characters for some retarded fan service game.
That'd be awesome.
That unfortunately very few people would buy, but the people who would buy it would love it to death.
It wouldn't matter if he sold it digitally on his own site.
That's true.
And go for a publisher did it all himself.
Go digital. Go digital. Sorry. it's one of those days.
But yeah, no, I thought
it is.
What am I looking at right here? Is this like a metal man?
It got left in here from Jeff's days.
Really?
Yeah.
He didn't take his like little metal orc man with him. Is that Warhammer?
No,
I have no idea.
It's not Warhammer.
Can't believe. We're Sorry,
man. And Anthony is like shooting daggers from his eyes at Robert.
He's insulted
right now
that you even asked that question.
Yeah. Too big
you
to dare. Be an orc.
I thought Warhammer was this kind of thing.
It is, but they're much smaller than that. That miniature is like the size of like an ogre.
It's Warhammer's like a GI Joe size miniature.
Yeah.
Plus, it's not made of pewter.
Is it not? It's really fucking heavy.
Nah. I'll do computer.
I demand that you look at this and really.
I'm the one that broke the hammer
computer
off of it, so I
really
know. Yeah. You know what? I'll take that back. It's pewter.
Yeah, and wait, you broke the what off of it?
The hammer.
Oh, the hammer. So I'm really not buying that this is not Warhammer.
But it isn't Warhammer. It's too big to be an orc in Warhammer. And plus,
maybe it's a super special,
whoever
super
sculpted
rare
this
character.
Did a fucking terrible job. So.
Oh my god. Horrible.
Where was it made?
You're like, I could do better.
Doesn't have a name. I probably could do better.
Well, what's this story that you wanted to bring up here?
Huh?
You.
Oh, there's some this story that someone wrote for Joystick about.
What's it called?
It's called Opinion. Why I can't go beyond the first 5 minutes of Call of Duty World at War.
And that's Joystick with a clever Q.
Yeah.
James Ransom Wiley.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically the story is, I read this earlier.
Yeah, so did I.
And his story is basically that he's offended at Japan's portrayal as the villains of this game.
That is kind of an oversimplification, because I don't think he was really saying that he's offended at it. I think he was just trying
as
to communicate.
As much as he was like vomiting within his own mouth as he was trying to deal with the over-the-top demonization of Japanese soldiers in this game.
No, see,
I think he was just trying to communicate that he had this kind of visceral gut reaction, and he was, and that's pretty much all he wanted to do.
Oh,
what are we laughing at? Oh, yeah,
well, Scooter just stuck a sign up in the window that said GTFO, so that means...
That means go to...
Anthony.
It means get the fun on. Get the fun on.
Anthony's headed out, so...
Bye, Anthony.
Get the fun on, Anthony.
See, oh, man, we can finally talk shit about that guy.
Oh, my God.
That motherfucker, he smells so bad.
Oh, God.
Just kidding.
You know, every other day, you got to at least take a shower. Yeah.
No, not...
At least.
Not in Gallegos territory, apparently.
Just kidding. You're so mean.
So, yeah, what about this article?
No, I was saying
well, you're the one that sent it to us.
I don't think he was saying that he's like offended by it necessarily. I think that he was saying that it affected him personally on this level that, you know, killing Nazis doesn't, and that like he was just wondering, like kind of wondering out loud at his own reaction to it. I don't think he came to any definitive conclusions, because I was like reading through the comments and stuff, and people were really calling him out on the minutia of what he said, and I don't think that he was trying to be that specific. I think he said like. this is my gut reaction. This is what happened, and
this
I'm
is
just
why
saying
I
it.
Can't play.
I mean, it makes sense to me, if only because for years now, I feel like World War II games have gone a little over the top. It's like we've gotten used to this this type of game, and the idea that you can just go back in history and take real events and turn them into video game fodder, and it was fine mm-hmm. when it was Wolfenstein and it was ridiculous,
right?
You know?
Right.
But when you try to marry the reality of history to this kind of crazy video game shit that they do now, those crazy video games, I think it can be like sort of offensive, and I don't mean that like offensive is like a provoking word when it comes to video gamers, because they're like, I'm not offended by anything, I watch South Park,
right?
Like the kids who grew up with South Park. But it is offensive to show a real execution from real World War II footage,
yeah, they
right?
Show
video game
footage.
Like, I don't want to look at somebody getting killed in real life.
No, that's true. Like it's just like when the Iraq War first hit, and like then video started going around of like, yeah, look at this, and it was like videos of people actually killing people, and it's like, yeah, I realize that's actually going on, but you're not talking about it in terms of news, you're talking about it in terms of entertainment, and that is offensive.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I'm just not comfortable with the idea that people when you talk about war love to take the other side and turn them into like somebody less than human. And I think it's easy to do with a Nazi, because the Nazis were fucking out of their
minds.
Well,
one of the things, one of the questions he even asks is, have the Nazis transcended beyond historic reality into a mythical beast onto which we can safely project our aggression? A la an alien, something not human.
Yeah, there's Nazi zombies in Call of Duty.
Yeah.
World at War.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're comfortable with the idea of killing zombies, mainly because they seem to... I mean, not zombies.
Zombies.
Yeah, the idea of killing Nazis, mainly because they seem like this kind of... like temporary affliction that the Germans had, almost like they became zombies, you know,
right.
Like, man, the Germans got like super evil for a few years, and then we got rid of that and everything's cool now. But it was like a disease, like
moment
a plague
in time.
A plague on their humanity or something. And
and like one of the people, sorry, what were you saying?
No, I was just gonna say, like, as a Japanese person playing this game, I wasn't necessarily offended, but I could tell like they totally exploited certain stereotypes within the Japanese culture to make them more like,
when they start evil. Like coming out at you with chopsticks and stuff, it was
stupid ass. No, like how they yell bonsai like right before they like run out and try to stab you with the bayonet.
That's exactly what happened every time someone would try to stab you with
every
the bayonet,
single time they're
people
like, bonsai?
You
yell
started
bonsai.
That sentence like as a Japanese person.
Yeah, you can't get by with this.
Like, are you a Japanese
me?
Person?
Oh, well, I'm part Japanese. Yeah.
Okay.
Even though my last name is Sanchez. Figure that one.
That's crazy.
What did
you ought to run for president?
Yeah.
So did you feel like this guy at all, like when you first booted up Call of Duty?
Not necessarily, because when I'm playing a game, I'm not like comparing it to my personal life or what. Hmm. Or maybe it's also because you know, in his article, he was saying that his family was personally affected by World War II. Like, his family had to go to internment camps here in the United States. So, I mean, if I had that to connect to, maybe I would be offended, but I don't, so.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also an interesting question to say that, you know, people who don't have... If we don't have anybody in our family history or anything personally affected by particularly tragic events in the past, does that make us kind of a nerd to what is potentially offensive?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have a personal connection with something, I mean, I think that's why the World War II games seem to get by, because, you know,
not many of us actually experienced it firsthand.
Or yeah, and the people who did are, you know, pretty old. They're not playing video games. Their numbers are few, and their direct family descendants, haven't spoken up about this sort of thing much.
But then you get, like, you know, Sergeant so-and-so, who's an advisor on, oh shit, what was that really super ultra violent FPS Soldier of Fortune?
Yeah.
You get like, you know, some grizzled veteran who's like supposedly an advisor on that, and they released videos of this guy talking about, you know, how he was an advisor on this game so the weapon simulation would be realistic. And then it's this super ultra violent, you know, like limbs blowing off of blood spurting everywhere kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, well, is so this guy who's apparently a real time he's real time, he's a real time human who is apparently a real war veteran, this doesn't bother him, or he thinks that it is appropriately applicable to entertainment. Like it's strange because, you know, the broad spectrum of human perspectives can come from so many avenues.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess it's kind of folly to think that you can tell what, you know, if something that you don't really know about is offending other people. I mean, that's,
yeah, it's really hard to say.
Yeah. But
I guess this opens up a bigger question. Like how games actually have a personal impact on people's lives and whether it makes, you know, and then it brings up the whole like assumption that a violent video game will make your child violent.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
No, I mean, yeah. I don't know if this is the same kind of idea, you know, but...
Anyways, yeah.
Well, like, I always think about, you know, what... have you read like Ian Bogost's Persuasive Gaming?
Or yeah,
Persuasive
yeah.
Games, yeah. And like the part where he talks about how a big problem that we face in the games is art debate is that if you're trying to classify it as art, a necessary component of a lot of art is that it does affect people, that it does like propagate change, you know, mm-hmm. to be in the mood of the season. And so So it's like, on the one hand, you can't say that it doesn't affect people, but you also don't want to say that it's brainwashing people. Mm. And I think that kind of falls in line with whether or not something is offensive to a particular group of people as well, is that, you know, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Ryan, I want to know what you think. You picked this article. What was your perception of it?
Well, I think it's just, it's called Why I Can't Go Beyond the First 5 Minutes of Call of Duty World at War. I read it and was like, you know, I just wonder what his perspective would be if he had gone further into the game.
Mm-hmm. I'm just surprised more people aren't upset about the dog killings that go on in this game. As silly as it is, you know how you can call it. What are you doing?
Robert Ashley is apparently bored with Tina and is now drumming.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
I drum nervously.
So you're a good drummer, so though, nervous? So it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing, man. Fuck. I'm thinking about just sticking my face in this bag of candy corn and eating like as many as I could possibly fit into my mouth.
Shove them all in your mouth at once. Yeah,
that would be. I would get so nauseous. This is probably full of corn syrup.
Make for good radio.
Actually, sugar is the first thing. Corn syrup's the second thing on the list.
So, did it, like the dog killing thing? Does that like bother you?
At first I felt evil doing it. You know, these puppies are coming out at me and I'm just stabbing them in the neck. Like,
what do you mean puppies? Aren't they like
a gnarly
man-eating puppy?
What is it? I think it's bizarre that we've developed this thing. And I am a vegetarian and I find it weird when people are more sensitive to violence against animals than violence against people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's
because
like,
I think a lot
you're around like head shooting people all day, and they're like, "You want me to shoot a dog? Oh my god, that's fucked up."
Well,
you ever watch like a Friday the 13th movie, like Jason's decapitating people left and right,
yeah,
and then but he kills the dog, and you're like, "Oh, he killed the dog," you know? It's like that is kind of yeah. weird, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it seems to grab people more.
I think it's my personal theory is it's because it's easier to think that a human being did something to deserve their own death than it is to think that a dog did. Or
we give dogs the benefit of the doubt. We don't give people the benefit of the doubt.
Right, exactly.
So. When I was playing with the developers the other day, I suggested to them that they offer downloadable content or like some patch or something where you can call different animals. Like when you're playing on the Japanese map, freaking like call a dragon or something, you know, instead of dogs. Wouldn't that be awesome?
To fight the zombies.
Yeah, the zombie Nazis. I mean, yeah, they already threw in the zombie Nazi aspect. Just go all out.
Yeah, might as well go full on ridiculous.
Freaking dragons and stuff. I don't know. That'd make it cool.
I would support that if you could ride the dragons. I want to be the sniper riding on a dragon shooting Nazi zombies. That sounds like a pleasure to me.
Like,
you know, I wanted to say, we were talking about Fallout 3 last week.
Yeah.
And I was really, it got me sort of hyped up because over the course of talking about it, I was like, man, I'm going to go home tonight and have such a fucking session with that game. And I turned it on and I was 5 minutes away from beating it.
Like, oh, really?
The last point that I had saved. And so I turned it on and beat it. Like, accidentally.
Shit.
So there's not really any indicator that you're leading to the conclusion of the story?
I mean, I guess I should have figured, but there's a lot in the game that you never come upon unless you're really out there exploring. And so I was sticking to the story quests way too closely.
It's really short?
Not really short. I mean, it was 20 hours.
Oh, wow.
But it didn't feel anywhere like I could have been close to being done because I hadn't really explored the capital area that much. I'd gone to that first museum that you go to for a mission, like the Museum of
I still haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not the Natural History Museum because that's where the underworld is. But anyway, that first museum got to, and that was the only place I'd really explored down there, and I hadn't even explored the whole northwestern part of the map at all. So I figured that there was no way I was close to being done, but yeah, so I had to go back to an older save, and I'm still playing it, but yeah, I'm sort of I was taken aback by how quickly I'd finished it.
I'm really curious to try the PC version once all my components get in, and assuming that they are assembled correctly.
Yeah,
because you know, Oblivion was totally hampered by the Xbox development. You know, as soon as Oblivion came out, there was mods that came out that, you know, shrunk the text size and changed, you know, your resolution settings and gave you more options for graphic, you know, your visual fidelity as far as the terrain and everything goes and the lighting effects. And I'm wondering if Fallout is hampered in the same way, or if they just kind of figured that out early on and like and more customized the experience for the PC.
Yeah, I don't know. I have it loaded up on my computer, but I haven't played it on my PC yet. But
we shall find out shortly.
Yeah,
assuming FedEx gets my shit here soon.
Yeah.
So are you hoping by the time we podcast again, you'll have a PC?
I don't know, because it's good. I assume that I ordered 3-day shipping because I'm cheap and couldn't really afford overnight or 2-day, and I'm cheap and I couldn't afford it. So it'll probably arrive like Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, and being the one-up show schedule the way that it is, I probably won't get to build it till the weekend after that. And then I will have many, many games in my personal backlog.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I just, for all the listeners out there wondering why I haven't had like a good grief session lately, I just moved into a new apartment and I'm trying to get set up. So I am currently...
What's your address?
Thank you.
Did you have a...
No, just say, you know, what street?
If I say Geary...
Oh, that doesn't really narrow it down,
exactly.
Does it?
No.
But it's...
There's a whole lot of Geary.
The cross street is Geary.
Yeah.
Now you're going to totally get somebody like walking up and down Geary.
Oh, like, fuck. That would take like all day. Go ahead.
People will do it. Go ahead, I
they
challenge
already
you.
Do.
Yeah, but yeah, once I get my PC and everything set up, I'm gonna be playing. So we'll get something going.
Did you guys have your internet connection ready to go when you moved in, or did you have to wait?
No, we had to wait about a week, and then Alice,
torture,
who's one of my roommates, we set up the Ethernet cables through our house the other day. So
are there just cables running along the floor everywhere?
It's really, well, you know, we made it all neat and crap. Like, they're going along the floorboards on the side and all tightly wound and fancy.
Nice.
You should see behind my TV.
Why, it's all shitty.
Yeah.
Dude. No, but yeah, I'm going to get set up. I'm going to play. I'm definitely going to be playing Left 4 Dead, and I'll definitely have a good grief session with you guys.
Nice.
I've been getting requests for that. And yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, I will definitely be playing Left 4 Dead as well.
Yeah.
Sweet. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to download it and play it before I even get my new PC parts. Hopefully I can play it without...
Yeah, you don't need to. I mean, my machine isn't very awesome at all, and it runs everything
on
high.
Fine.
Cool.
So, yeah, runs great.
Cool. Good to know.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of shit for not playing PC games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you don't have
When you're poor
you
as fuck.
Play on.
I just wrote this story for EGM that I think kind of addresses my attitude about it, and it's sort of about how everyone in the modern console age is a PC gamer.
Yeah.
That that really, like, if you look at, you know, all the stuff that's big this holiday season, like,
yeah,
Mirror's Edge or Left 4 Dead or Fallout 3 or even, you know, Little Big Planet, all these people came from PC backgrounds and they brought this culture of PC gaming from the 90s with them. And so much of what we play today, either in the living room or on the PC, is PC gaming.
I get it with some of the games, but what do you mean by Little Big Planet?
Little Big Planet is totally an example of the kind of like modding and user creating elements of gaming that have been a part of the PC culture forever.
Gotcha.
That are finally coming to the console. And there are just people on that team who came from a PC background. Even stuff like, you know, Rock Band. A lot of people from the Rock Band team came from a PC background. The story of the rising Western game development is really about PC gaming coming to its own on, you know, newer home game consoles. And I don't know. I think it's more of a style of gaming than it is a platform to me. You know, it's a certain kind of game that I like to play, and you know, it's not Mario or Zelda,
right?
You know,
gotcha. Wow, that's a really interesting perspective, Robert.
Yeah. So read that story. buy a copy of that magazine, and send me some money.
don't send me money.
Yeah. Just healthcare.
Unless it's real money. No, I'm just kidding.
Healthcare would be nice.
Yeah, if somebody wants to buy me a health insurance policy, mine's really expensive.
Uh-huh. Before I walked in here, I was looking at the boards on 1UP, and someone made a thread that said something along the lines of World of Goo, like everyone that has it, or 90% of the people that have it pirated the game.
Yeah, I saw that.
Really?
It was developers had commented on it. I think it was actually in the comment section of Rock Paper Shotgun
mm-hmm. yeah.
that we're getting a signal that they had gone in, because you know the game hooks up to a leaderboard mm-hmm. for everyone who's playing, so they can tell how many people are playing the game and then they match it to their numbers for selling, and it was like 90% had pirated it.
Wow.
So, which is a bummer, because first of all, these are guys who left EA to make their own company, and they made a game that is not exactly expensive. You know, you're kind of being a cheap ass if you're going to pirate World of Goo.
You are. But I think that, like, when something becomes that popular as World of Goo is,
yeah,
that there are a lot of opportunities to monetize it beyond just the game sale.
Yeah. Like, you could start, like, a World of Goo-themed whorehouse.
Wow.
Instant success.
Yeah. You basically need to take
Look at Ryan's face. Pablo's first like, yeah.
You need to take your brand and use it to positively affect your bottom line in other ways.
Well, it's like, I don't think the, you know, the piracy issue isn't going to go away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people have to find ways around this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, I think that we would all benefit from
buying it.
From Steam.
Oh,
if Valve was kind enough to grace us with press accounts.
What the hell?
Wow!
You're asking Valve for a press account
on a podcast.
Yeah, okay. Valve.
Good luck with that.
I know, dude.
It's
gonna go over well.
Tina's basically threatening to pirate games if she doesn't get a Valve account.
Dude, I look nice on the outside, but
on the inside, you're a dirty pirate.
dirty pirate.
Well, were they telling us to leave?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so today was a short podcast. Little rocky, little bizarre.
Lame.
Apologies.
In a strange place.
Yep.
I ate a lot of candy corn.
I'm still eating it.
Yeah, I'm going to go and, like, pass out and try to sleep this shit off. And then, you know, maybe next week I'll recover. But you guys have a good week.
All right. You too. All right. All right, bye, everybody.